Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Dr. K. This is Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. Thanks so much for tuning into my popular podcast. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a facial plastic surgeon here in Pasadena, California. And I run an amazing Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And the website is the same. Today on the podcast, I am really excited to introduce you to Danielle Prescott.
Hello.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
So she is the style director for Black Entertainment Television. The whole entire thing. She does it all.
Not the whole entire thing.
Styling them all.
Yeah, any digital features. So everything you see on like social media and on our website. Yes, that's what I do.
That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it?
It is a lot of responsibility.
So do you run like their Instagram?
We have a whole social team, but I do mostly content.
Okay.
So any content that has to do with beauty, with fashion, with lifestyle, fitness, health, wellness, all of that stuff.
All of that.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Good. And what's your background? How did you get into stylist work?
I started interning at fashion magazines when I was 18. I live in New York. I grew up in New York.
Right.
So I was kind of always really interested in fashion, and it was kind of a natural progression from there. So I worked in magazines for the beginning half of my career, and then, you know, kind of media changed and shifted, and then I went digital, and now I work in TV.
Does anybody still read magazines?
I don't think so.
And it's hard,
and that's
right?
What's happening. Yeah.
It's almost like you still need to have a flagship magazine for, like, when you go on those long airplane rides and by the pool.
Yeah, but now it's so crazy. I fly a lot, and on airplanes, everyone has tablets.
Yeah.
Or they're on their phone.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's
true. It's like the magazine.
But I kind of like that tactile feel of a magazine or a newspaper. It almost just relieves your brain of, like, it almost feels like work all the time when we're always on our phone.
Absolutely.
Always on our tablet. It's hard to decompress.
Yeah.
So Danielle, your skin type is darker, just like mine. You're African American. Where's your original heritage from?
I actually did Ancestry.com last year, so I know this. Like, I never knew this before. So, okay, we are 40% from Benin and Togo, which are two countries in Africa, like coastal Africa. And then the other 40% is Caribbean, so it's like Jamaican, Bajan, which is from Barbados, and Puerto Rican. And then the last 20% is European.
Wow, that's quite a mix.
Yeah, so weird. But I think that's like most Americans that you would probably find, you
more
know.
More than likely. Mm-hmm. I actually was born in Kenya, in East Africa.
Oh, wow.
So.
And when did you come here to Pasadena?
Oh, I've been here like almost my whole life. So I grew up in L.A.
Okay.
I'm an L.A. girl.
Yeah.
Santa Monica High. I went to Malibu Park Junior High, Santa Monica High School, and then USC undergrad.
Oh, wow.
USC Med School, UCLA residency, surgery training at UCLA.
You just like want to be in LA.
I guess,
forever.
Yes.
That's how I am with New York. I left New York for a little bit, went to Tufts in Boston, and I hated Boston, so I came right back and went to NYU, and I've been in New York ever since.
Like, wow.
I just like, you know, everyone was like, you can't stay in New York for your whole life. You're going to be a weirdo, because there are like a bunch of kids that grew up in New York City that you just kind of live in this weird bubble. You think it's like the center of the universe. And it is like a little bit stagnant, although you have like access to like everything. It gets you to be very jaded.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of like, no, it does. It's not like the happiest existence. So I listened to everyone and I left. But then I was like, because I was too I was too scared to like really leave. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, 3 hours is doable. And so I went to Boston. And
but
I was
now
like,
you
I
come
like
to
it.
LA all the time too, right?
I'm in LA a lot, but I don't think I could live here.
Why?
Well, first of all, the driving, like, it gives me so much anxiety to like be in the car that much. I don't know how you guys do it. And everyone in LA is just like, it's just normal to me. And I'm like, I love to walk.
Yeah.
And I walk around here a lot. And everyone's like, why are you walking? I'm like, because it's so close.
Yeah, that's such a much healthier lifestyle. I know when I go to New York, my sister's in New York, but she's like, yeah, it's only 20 blocks. I'm like, 20 blocks? Are you crazy? We got to take an Uber.
But our blocks are so much smaller than your blocks. 20 blocks in LA, you definitely couldn't do. You probably can't even do 5 blocks in LA. But
I know.
Like,
It's
a, yeah. It's in New York, thing. They're much shorter.
Yeah. Well, you have gorgeous skin.
Thank you.
So how do you take care of your skin, or what are your skin concerns? So you might as well ask me since you're here.
Yeah, sure. One of my major concerns is hyperpigmentation. I think that a lot of Black women have this concern, because if I get, I have pretty clear skin, but if I get a pimple, it will stay for the longest time, like the darkness, like after it, you know, is done its life cycle. And for the past 3 months I've been vegan.
Nice.
So my skin has been like doing great, but I wasn't feeling great in my body. Like I actually like hated being vegan. The only like after effect I like is like hair is great, nails are great, skin is great. Yeah. I will definitely give that to veganism, but everything else has been kind of eh. So
like energy wise you mean?
Yeah, I just feel like, and I also was feeling like very bloated. I was eating a lot of carbs. I was eating a lot of sugar. So I was feeling like high and low a lot. And I wasn't really used to that because I was doing a low carb diet for a really long time before that. So it just wasn't feeling, I also wasn't feeling full. I was feeling very hungry.
Yes.
All the time. Like I would eat breakfast and then 2 hours later I'd be like, what else can I eat?
I know, right?
It was
Sometimes
weird.
Sometimes you need the protein for
long term. To sustain you, you know? Mm-hmm. So I started eating meat again on Monday, literally, like, when I got here. I was
Her eyes perked up just now.
Like, perfect. But then I got, like, a huge pimple, like, right after. And I was like, oh, maybe that's the dairy, because it's just, like, hormones in general, like, the food that we eat. So anyway, one of my main concerns is to first keep acne away.
Yes.
And then, you know, keep breakouts away. But then if you do get a breakout, because I also get hormonal acne, like, around my period, I'll get, you know, a breakout, how to then get rid of the dark spots that come after.
That's a great question, and I have the same concerns too. Every dark skin type has that, whether you're Asian, Indian, African American, Hispanic. It's very universal that pigmented skin has so much melanin in it. Every time you pick a spot, you are generating an inflammatory trauma. Every time you get a zit, it's got a lot of inflammation in it. So inflammation is the trigger that makes your melanin cells heat up and make more melanin. So as much as possible, avoidance. So avoiding the picking and the popping, that's going to reduce your tendency to get scarring. Mm-hmm. If you get a scar, so when you get a hot spot, we all are going to get these big zits that happen. Sorry, life happens. But when you get one, if you put immediately some anti-inflammatory on it that night at bedtime, so a topical hydrocortisone available over the counter, and also a drying like a benzoyl peroxide gel or something with salicylic, which is really good to neutralize inflammation. So that's that whole myth of take an aspirin, crush it, dab it on. That's salicylic acid, right? Aspirin is a salicylate. That does actually work a little bit. So that's a really good overnight topical zit remedy. A little dab of hydrocortisone, a little bit of a salicylic from an aspirin tablet, and a little bit of benzoyl peroxide gel, and that'll clear up 50 to 70% of your acne that night. So I'm sure everybody's going to go try that.
You need to make a YouTube video, though.
I know, I should.
It's kind of hard to follow.
A DIY, yes, we'll do that for
Absolutely.
Sure. So to put that on right away to avoid pigmentation and inflammation.
Okay.
Then the next day, when you have a small zit, when you have a small zit, you can definitely, you don't want those to dwell forever. So there, it's true, you shouldn't pick your zits. On the other hand, you shouldn't let a pustule sit there for days and days and days. It creates so much inflammation, right? So if you know how to cleanly lance and drain those, or you can see an esthetician who can just pierce the surface of the skin and release all those evil humors, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
And many of us have learned how to do that at home. But that's going to be another YouTube video. And then lastly, so number one, avoidance. Number two, control inflammation. Number three, if you have hot spots, get them under control fast. The fourth thing is treat those brown spots right away. Don't wait for a whole season for them to get really engrossed and deepened in the skin. Hydroquinone is an excellent lightener, and it's safe for all skin types. And you can use it as a spot treatment, or you can use it all over the face. And it's prescription strength, so you're not going to find it everywhere. It is low-grade prescription and over-the-counter products. Like the lighteners you can buy at the drugstore are 2% hydroquinone. We have 6, 8, or 10% hydroquinone, so you definitely put that on twice a day. 6 to 8 weeks, it lightens everything beautifully.
Nice.
Yeah.
And do you recommend avoiding the sun? I know a lot of people say that, like, if you
Yes.
If you have dark spots, just try and stay out of the, or try and keep them out of the sun.
Well, I think there's a huge myth that a lot of patients that have melanin think they don't need sunscreen.
It is the craziest thing. I meet people that think they don't need sunscreen all the time, especially men.
Yes.
I am always constantly shocked. Yes. Or even white men. I'm like, what do you mean you don't wear sunscreen every single day?
I know.
I wear 50 every day.
It's like they just think they're immune to. I wear 50 every day too.
Yeah, I got it at this like Korean beauty store because they don't play.
Yeah,
it's like it's 50 and it's like it's very clear because you know you can get white cast with a lot of sunscreens.
That's true.
And you don't want to put your makeup on top of it, but you need it on your face.
That's like a lead into my sunscreen. So mine is tinted.
Nice.
It's SPF 50 and mineral, so it doesn't give you that white casting. Mm-hmm. And it's the highest concentration zinc oxide on the market.
That's amazing.
So zinc oxide, the light hits you, the rays just bounce right off. Mm-hmm. They don't penetrate the skin. So I think that's far better than a chemical sunscreen. Everything in the drugstore, the Neutrogena, the Coppertone, all those high SPF 100s, they're mainly chemical sunscreen based.
Right.
So that's not my favorite idea.
What do you recommend for your body?
For body, I unfortunately end up using oftentimes a chemical based sunscreen, but I'm just making a sunscreen spray. It's all zinc oxide, and it's not an aerosol because I don't like how those aerosols put everything like all over the floor, all over the pool, and you can see a layer of it on the pool surface.
Yes, you can.
Like you go to a hotel and you see that film of zinc oxide that we're all drinking when we get in the pool.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's crazy.
So I'm coming up with a body sunscreen with some zinc oxide in it for protection. But I mean, the main thing is avoidance. Like really being in the shade and wearing coverage, something to cover your skin, a long shirt or an outfit that covers all the skin is best. Men need to understand that they have skin and that their skin burns just as easily as everybody else's.
Yes, and then they should take care of it.
Yeah, and darker skin types, there's such a high rate of melanoma, which is malignant and deadly.
Yes.
The prevalence of that is increasing in Hispanics and Blacks and even in Asians. And I see myself, I've done like recently in the last 3 months, I've had 5 patients with skin cancer who are Hispanic. Who are like young 30-year-olds. So I really recommend sunscreen every day.
Every day. Everywhere. Yeah. Like you should just
don't worry about just skin cancer. Just worry about your beauty and your vanity. Like, don't you want to have nice skin for the rest of your life?
Because sounds very damaging.
It is very damaging.
You know.
Yeah. So sunscreen every day. Mm-hmm. And then
I wonder where that myth comes from. Just probably because you don't burn as easily.
Probably because you have melanin and you think that you just tan gorgeously.
Yeah.
And then have you ever had a sunburn?
Yeah.
And where did you burn?
It's terrible. On my shoulders and on my nose. I have like very red undertones. So even like when I get out of the shower, like my face is just very red when I heat up. So for some reason, like the sun, I mean, it happened mostly when I was younger or like lighter when you're younger. So, but now I haven't gotten a sunburn in years.
Yeah, I still sunburn. I burn a lot on my chest because I feel like I put sunscreen on my face, neck, but then I forget the décolleté.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun, when you're driving in LA, hits you right here on the chest. So that's definitely a space you guys should remember. Darker skin types, there's a big myth that you can't do peels.
Yes.
And I want everyone out there to know that peels are the best way to treat pigmentation for darker skin
types. I love peels, too. It makes you feel like, you know, a baby when you're like, oh, my God, who knew all this beautiful skin was under there after you do it?
Definitely. So you can do lighter peels, like a low-grade TCA or trichloroacetic acid peel. You can do heavier peels. But the main thing is see someone who's experienced in giving you peels so that you don't burn. You don't want too much inflammation and irritation. Modern day peels are very gentle, and you don't have to look like a lizard to get an effective peel.
Right.
Yeah. I know you had questions about injection rhinoplasty.
Yes, that was my main question. So I'm very involved with a lot of the things that celebrities do. One of my jobs is to stay on top of plastic surgery trends. And, you know, I think that injectables in the past, like, 10 years have become what people go to because it's not as drastic as on surgery.
Yes.
And so I've been really interested in what you can do to like your nose in particular with just fillers, you know, because I always thought like getting a nose job just seemed like too extreme. Like, okay, I can live with how my face looks. Uh-huh. But, you know, just a little bit of change.
Yeah, it's such a popular trend right now to do, as you said, all the fillers. But injection rhinoplasty for sure is incredible because the results are instantaneous. You leave here in like, you know, it's 20, 30 minutes of numbing of your nose. The procedure itself takes another 20 minutes. So in an hour, you have a brand new face. Like, and some feature of your face that you maybe have always hated, like the hump on your nose, is just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the smiles and the tears that we see afterwards are just really gratifying. So
oh, that's so nice.
It's just really transformative. And there's minimal downtime. You can swell or bruise just a little.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 90% of people don't, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so bruising and swelling takes a week to go down. We give you sometimes some steroid pills in case you swell a lot. And then I do two sessions. So 80% of your results you get at your first session.
Oh.
And then we do touch-ups about a month later.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, because the nose is a tight quartered cavity. So you can't exactly overfill it. I don't want to inject on top of swelling. When
mm-hmm.
things start to swell, I just stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see people back about a month later.
Okay.
And then
the results last for a year.
You can do a one-year filler, or you can do a two-year filler. I've been doing Restylane Lift, which is a one-year filler, which is, I think, safer. Voluma, the two-year filler, is hard to dissolve if you have any problems or complications.
Got it.
And then I also want to encourage people, like, don't go to any old Medi Spa out there. I personally feel, as a head and neck surgeon and someone who specializes in nasal surgery, that you need to be able to do a rhinoplasty to take a syringe in your hand and do an injection rhino. Successfully. Like
mm-hmm.
your knowledge of anatomy needs to be very exact.
Mm-hmm.
I use filler as a cartilage graft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost placing the filler as if it's a cartilage graft. So you want to have an injector who's skilled enough to know how to do that. If you know how to do a cartilage graft, by all means, go ahead and do an injection there. But if you're just dabbling and you think it looks so easy to put some filler above this and above that, it's not that easy.
Someone told me there are like little spas in LA that you can go and get injectables at, or like they're like quickie ones. We have those in New York, but they're for things like laser facials or,
yes.
you know, like eyelash extensions or something where,
right.
you know, it's like trendy and expensive. So they've figured out a way to make it cheaper. But the fact that people are going to get fillers that like, you know.
It scares me a lot because if you saw the training that people go through, there is no training. Basically, it's like sometimes a 2-hour or 4-hour course and no hands-on. It's just a lecture course, and they haven't
wow.
taken an anatomy class.
So then the first time they get like a actual
patient.
Client, that's like
yes, they'll be
the
practicing.
First time they're doing it on a face.
Exactly. So they may be practicing on you, or maybe if they're really lucky, they've had one of the filler companies sponsor a training, which would be a 2-hour training with one patient. And they'll give them a free filler to use to inject that patient. So I just feel like this industry needs to have a lot more oversight. And it's coming. I think it's coming, but it's going to be a while. Also, until then, patients need to be so educated and don't trust your face to someone who's not a specialist.
Absolutely.
Because why would you? You're paying top dollar for a procedure. Why would you not go to someone who's the most qualified?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can have convenience of your next door Medi Spa. But it's not the same because filler, unfortunately, filler in the nose has some risks. Risk of skin necrosis, risk of injection into an artery, risk of blindness, risk of stroke. Filler everywhere has that risk. Lip filler, cheek filler, under eye filler,
mm-hmm.
they all have this risk.
Mm-hmm.
So the technique is so critical. And if someone is not capable to reverse a risk, that's bad. If they're not capable to recognize a risk or avoid anatomy that's dangerous, that's bad.
Yeah. Just go to a doctor's office.
Yeah, so not to freak everybody out and scare you. It's
mm-hmm.
definitely an amazing procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So successful.
And obviously very popular.
Very popular. The videos are fun to do. The results are great. Yeah, so do you think you might try that someday?
I am super interested in it. You know, I've always thought about doing different things to my nose, but I never, ever wanted to get a nose job, you know? So
yeah.
I've definitely been like, okay, I think filler is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, different price points. So nose job or rhinoplasty, like around $8,500, $65 to $8,500, depending on what we do. And then injection rhino is usually around $1,200.
Right.
So big price difference,
right.
less downtime. It's a great way to try out, like, if you think a rhinoplasty
mm-hmm.
is right for you.
Do you ever get, like, requests where people are like, can I please have Beyonce's nose?
All the time. People bring pictures all the time.
What do you tell them?
Well, sometimes it's not realistic.
Okay.
But mostly it gives me a good sense of the look they're after, and I try and merge that with the look they have.
I think I need to find a nose inspiration.
Yes, that would be good.
You know, you know that Tyra Banks like outed herself as like having a nose job like early on in her career, and yeah. I was like, my whole life has been a lie. I couldn't believe she said that. I was like, so that's when I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get a new nose now, yeah. You know?
I know. Imagine the deception that all these girls all these years have been thinking that she's just born this flawless creature. But it's very nice of her to finally tell
everyone. Yeah, I think transparency is really important. It's just like, if it's, and no one's judging. Like, I don't judge anybody for anything that they would do to, like, make themselves feel better if they want to. But I think it's kind of weird if you would use your face and your body as, like, your career. The way you make money, and then not actually be honest about like how you got there.
Well, it's so pervasive out there that every Instagram model has a ton of filler, and many of the entertainment people have filler. Of course, they all have filler. They all have hair extensions.
I
was shocked to hear from my hairdresser that 90% of people at getting their Academy Awards have hair extensions.
Oh,
that's why they look so voluptuous and like gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's
with
how you get
fillers.
A hair campaign. You know, it's like no shampoo. Commercials, and it's like how they use like fake lashes on all the mascara commercials. It's ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous. Yeah, that's not fair. Right? It's not fair.
Well, you just have to be honest about what it is. So like, no one cares if that wasn't the nose you were born with. But then don't try and hide that that's not the nose you were born with.
Exactly.
You should just say it.
Is it controversial to change an ethnic look of a nose? Don't you think? I think it's controversial.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think definitely. I mean, that's kind of like the Michael Jackson argument, right? Like, everyone was like, okay, like, you went too far and you don't even look like
exactly.
You did. Like, that's a little bit like.
So, yeah, I've had people say, some of the haters have comments about, like, oh, well, she's trying to not look, you know, Jewish or not trying to look Asian or trying to make more anglicized features. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I respond to that by just saying that, you know what? It's your body. It's your right to look how you want to look, mm-hmm. and it's your self-expression.
Yeah.
So, I don't critique you for wanting to have a tattoo, having a piercing, getting a tummy tuck, getting bigger boobs.
Yeah.
Like, just do what you got to do.
It's kind of a personal
life.
You know? Like, when people dye their hair, it's like, yeah, okay, that wasn't the hair color you were born with either.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's up to you.
Definitely is. Yeah, it doesn't make you any less of who you are.
Yeah.
In fact, in some ways it brings out who you are because you finally get the confidence to like not have this barrier of a thing that's bothered you your whole life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So confidence is important. It's one of the best things about this profession.
Yeah.
Building confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit more about your work with BET.
So, day to day we kind of cover the celebrity trends. Obviously, entertainment is in our DNA. So we, everything from like Beyonce and Jay-Z on tour to, I did a workout yesterday that Rihanna does.
Nice.
So like I get
was
to.
Was it hard?
It was almost impossible. I've done it before actually. Like a lot of times it's called Legree Fitness and it's in West Hollywood. It is a like Pilates class, but it's on speed, so it's only 25 minutes, and everyone has 25 minutes, so that's great. But there's, you know, really intense women in LA that do back-to-backs, and I'm like, that's like, I'm by minute 9, I'm crying. I'm like, when is this over? It's so bad. So the machine actually moves, so the teacher controls it with an iPad, so you're both exercising and hanging on for dear life. Like, please don't let me fall off this thing.
You use all those core muscles that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah. So Rihanna does it. Viola Davis does it. Ashley Graham, like all these girls. So I get to try all these fun things that celebrities do. Mm-hmm. And Sunday we have the BET Awards, which is kind of like our Met Gala. It's the biggest thing that we do all year.
Yeah. What are you going to wear?
We all have to wear black. Everyone that works at BET has to wear black so we can kind of identify each other, you know, quickly. So I'm wearing just like a very simple black dress.
Nice.
It's like a tee length. And it's a really hectic weekend.
Yeah, lots of fun events for you.
Yeah. So we also have BETX, which is a series of concerts, sort of like our Coachella. And it's at the Staples Center. So every night is like a different kind of theme.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. What's trending as far as black actresses and actors is things are getting done on their faces or anything that you're aware of as new trend?
you know what is really popular? Microblading your eyebrows.
Yes, that is
everyone
so popular.
Does that.
Yeah.
I think it's just because, like, you fill them in, so people just get lazy after a while. It's something you're doing every day.
Yeah. But it looks great, actually.
It looks great. It looks really natural.
And then you wake up just looking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something. I think that the lip injections are also a big thing that people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's talked about, like, as much, but I definitely just did a series of videos with a lot of influencers for BeautyCon, and there's a lot of girls being like, do you think I should get lip injections?
Yeah.
I told most of them no. I was like, I think that you have very full lips. Like, I don't think it's anything you need to worry about. But
specifically African-American girls?
Yes. Just, isn't that crazy? Yeah.
No, I see a fair number. Like, I do a bazillion lip injections, mm-hmm. and I love it. It's one of my favorites. And you would think that, you know, African-American women have full lips and they don't need anything. But when they come in and they do their lips, it actually looks so stunning.
Yeah.
It really looks just something about it very voluptuous. Yeah. So. But yeah, I think there's a fine line. Society's coming to the edge of the fine line.
Yeah, I think we definitely are there.
Yeah. I think our brain is conditioned now in Instagram to just see voluptuous lips and think that that's nature. But it's two syringes, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
What happens when, like, someone comes to you and they've, like, gone too far when you're like, okay, your lips are enormous, like, or they don't even look like anything found in nature?
I know. I have seen quite a bit of that here and there. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes I'll offer to just not do their lips and do it to concentrate on another area of their face. Or occasionally I'll just outline the border so it looks mm-hmm. a little more defined and mm-hmm. less kind of just rubbery.
Mm-hmm.
That looks pretty. Sometimes I'll do that cleavage technique with the string.
Mm-hmm.
That's super popular because then you can get fuller lips without getting like real bloaty look.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming to visit.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to look for you on the red carpet at the BET Awards.
Amazing.
And I hope you come back and try some fun stuff. Definitely a peel.
Yeah, I love peels.
Definitely try some great skincare.
Okay, thank you.
And where can all my followers find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. My name is Danielle Prescott, Prescod as in dog.
Excellent. Yeah. You guys have to check her out. Style Maven.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And find me here on Tuesdays and Fridays. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Take care and stay beautiful.